traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, horse people, horse fans, horses, horse farms, horse everything. Good afternoon. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, the International Equine Network. And we got a lot of Derby, Kentucky Derby, a lot of horse racing to talk about today. And that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about. It's all thoroughbreds today. It's interesting, this time of year, we've come around to, you know, getting ready to go into our spring racing and the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, and, you know, the summer Travers up in Saratoga and, you know, that type of thing. And it's all how it began last September. Last September with the Iroquois Stakes, everybody started pointing for the Kentucky Derby. And you got to have the best laid plans and, you know, you got to have it all mapped out for the year and what, you know, what ifs and what, you know, what happens if you have a little setback here and there and the adjustments that you make and, you know, that type of thing. It's a very difficult situation the horse business is, to be honest with you. It's just really tough when you look at it. And no matter whether you've got show horses, rodeo, AQHA horses, you know, standard bred horses, it's all about the plan. It's about the journey. And that's why we say the journey starts here with what we're doing. We try to bring into focus, you know, the best way that I see, you know, and maybe, you know, people have various opinions on it, but I'm the kind of person that starts prepping for things, you know, a year from now, that type of thing. Start looking forward. I always have to have something to look forward to. And so we're right on the cusp of the Derby and everything. The Derby's 6 weeks away. We're just kind of looking at everything, you know, that we've done in the past and kind of reflecting and, you know, seeing what happens, you know, to get the horses there. And it's interesting. Now we're going to start going back and looking at a few things, here. Back in September, they have a race at Churchill Downs called the Iroquois. The Iroquois Stakes is a great stakes race to go to. It's the first of the Derby points that you can get. And what I like about the Iroquois is not saying that I'd really want to run in it, but just saying that what I like about it. It would be nice to run in it and win it, but it's a true test of the road to the Derby. And last year they had it. Instant Coffee was a good horse. And he wins the thing. It's a tough race to go to have your horse ready that early in the year. And when you get them ready that early, you gotta have to rest them up somewhere along the line. It's hard to go from September to May, you know, at a top training level. And so usually the Iroquois is a good test to see what kind of horse you have. Good horses come out of that race. And then right on the heels of that is the Jockey Club. And then right on the heels of that is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So there's three races that you can point for. And it's a whole different ball game when you have a two-year-old and you're pointing for, you know, for the Derby. You can join one of them, two of them, or all three of them, actually. You know, that's the tough part that you've got to decide. So, then after you get through the fall, then you get back into, you know, January and you start down the road to the Derby. And there's a lot of good races, a lot of good prep races, a lot of the racetracks, you know, like Oaklawn and Fairgrounds in New Orleans. They all have one, two, you know, prep races before their big races, you know, like, Hot Springs, for example, for the Arkansas Derby. They got the Southwest Stakes, there. They have, in Louisiana, they've got the Louisiana Derby, and they got two or three stake races that prep you for your, you know, for that race. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to focus on getting your horse on the trail to the Derby, on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And you take it in series and segments. You get the two-year-old, you get him trained, you start training him, you get him broke, you get him ready to go. Okay, once you get him ready to go, you decide what direction you're going to go in. Are you going to start in Kentucky? Are you going to start in Arkansas? Are you going to start in Florida? Are you going to start in Louisiana? Are you going to start in California or New York? All those states have prep races in a major race before the Kentucky Derby that'll get you into the Kentucky Derby if you do good. And so usually what you like to do is you like to train your horse for, well, let's say for the Florida Derby. You're down here, you're in here in the wintertime, the weather's pretty good most of the time, and then you start looking at, like the Swale Stakes, the Fountain of Youth, you know, to prepping you for the Florida Derby. Tampa Bay Derby's down here, you know, the Sam Houston, they prep you for that. You have all these races that prep to each one of these derbies. And so if you get on the bandwagon and you say, okay, I'm going to go and stay in Florida and prep for the Florida Derby and then the Kentucky Derby. So now you kind of narrowed everything down. You've got a plan. You know, you got a plan of where you're going and how you're going to get there. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen along that road. I'm telling you, I've been there and done that. And I'm telling you, like we were talking about here in the past, the weather has become a significant factor this year in the 2023 Kentucky Derby. Even though we're not in Churchill yet, the weather has played a major part in what we do. New Orleans, Hot Springs, New York, California, they've all had serious situations with the weather. They've missed days of training. They've had bad track conditions. They had quite a few issues, in New York with the wind, and snow and ice, you know, where they had to stop training on the track for a while. Now, usually once you have a fit horse, you know, two or three days are not gonna, you know, hurt your, you know, horse missing training. But the problem of it is that when you're training for the Derby and you miss two or three days, because of weather, and then you come back, the track conditions are not as good as they should have been. So, you know, you're training on a sloppy or a muddy track. You're training in the cold, you're training in the wind and the rain. You know, there's a lot of things. So those days pile up. Even though you do get to the track, it doesn't mean that you're going to have a good day of training. You're going to get around the track. But, you know, if it's muddy and you know, in bad shape, you're not going to do too much because you don't want risk injury. And same thing out in California. They had a lot of wind. They had a lot of heat. They had a lot of rain. They had everything. Hot Springs, same thing. It's been muddy. It's been rainy. It's been bad. Same thing in New Orleans. You know, bad, bad, bad. The only place, and not because I'm from Florida, the only place that it's been pretty consistent has been here in South Florida. So that, you got the Tampa Bay Derby crowd and you got the Florida Derby crowd coming out going to the Derby this year. So, you know, after you start looking at that, you know, you start thinking about, well, you know, what races are we going to race during the spring to get to, you know, to get to the Kentucky Derby? And, you know, when you start looking at, you know, the races that are out there, well, you know, I could go here. Is this race going to be tough? Is it going to be, how's it going to come out? You know, how are we going to look at it? And so the other day I started sitting down and looking at what all is going on here with the races, going into the Derby. And I was kind of amazed at what was available. And then I started looking at the horses that were coming to the Derby and how they got here. And like I said, it started back September 17th with the Iroquois. And then, you know, literally every week we had some type of Derby point race. we had the American Pharoah. It was a good race. That was back on October the 8th in Santa Anita. We had the Claiborne Futurity, which was October 8th at Keeneland. Then we had the Veteran Trophy Stakes, October 22nd, and that was in England. So you start seeing what else going on, and it just blows your mind. Then the 4th, we had the Breeders' Cup, November 4th. Then the 26th, we had the new Jockey Club Stakes. So now that got you through the fall. And once you get through the fall, you take a little rest and you evaluate your horse and see where you're going and see what all's going on, you know, with this. Sounds like we're getting you some music there. So then we keep on going, and we looked at the Remsen Stakes, which was December 3rd. Then we looked at the Los Alamitos Futurity, which was December 17th. And then we listened to the Remington Springboard Mile, which was December 17th. So now we're starting to get some, you know, legitimate horses that are running. We had the Gunrunner Stakes at the Fairgrounds on the 26th of December. And it was pretty good. You know, it was starting to look good. Then on January 1st, we started out with Smarty Jones from the Oakland Park. Then we go to Aqueduct to the Jerome Stakes on January 7th and the Sham Stakes at Santa Anita on January 8th. So now we're starting to get a defined group of horses that can take it to the next level. And the next level that we go to is kind of exciting. You know, it's different. It's really different. Now you got down to three or four horses out of each one of those races that we just talked about that'll be taking it up to the next step. And then you're looking at the Fairgrounds. Which was a good race. Instant Coffee showed up again, you know, there. And that was the thing that surprised me is, you know, he's on a good road, you know, to going back to the road to the Derby. And so I was sitting there thinking like, oh man, here we started out with Iroquois, and I know I said earlier, Instant Coffee. But it was Curly Jack that won the Iroquois Stakes. So now I'm sitting there looking, and saying, my goodness, Dustin, these horses are now getting good, getting real good, you know. And Instant Coffee is a horse that come along pretty good there. I was surprised at him, that he stayed like he has, you know, from the time that he started going. And he was good. He's a good horse. To come back and win the Fairgrounds, that was good. Two Phils was in there, Confidence Game, were in there. Those were really nice horses, and they're coming along as good as I thought they'd come along. The Southwest Stakes on the January 28th from Oakland Park, was won by Arabian Knight, and Arabian Knight is no longer in the mix because he came out, had some issues, and he came out. But, other than that, out of the Southwest, there weren't a lot of good horses. I mean, there were good horses in there, but none that were going to step up, you know, the goal and go on. So then we get down to February 4th, the Holy Bull, a preparation for the Florida Derby. We had Rocket Can, Shadow Dragon, West Coast Cowboy, Legacy Isle, and they were all tough horses. It was a good race. It was a good race, but nothing that really was outstanding in there. February 4th again, Robert Lewis out at Santa Anita. We had a horse named Newgate, Hard to Figure, Worcester, and Arabian Lion came out. A good field, good race, but just, you know, there wasn't a big time Derby contender in there. Then we get down to February 11th. The Hit Show, the Weather Stakes, Hit Show won that, pretty good. Arctic Arrogance was in there, General Baker, and prove right. Again, another good group of horses, but nothing that set the world on fire. And so now we come back down to Florida, to the Sam F. Davis Stakes. And a nice race, going a mile and 16. And Litigate, out of nowhere, comes out. And I mean, let me tell you something. This surprised the trainer. It surprised the owner. It surprised everybody. This horse showed up, and he's a young green horse, and he didn't know what to do. But he, when they asked him to run, he ran, and he wins. That's a Todd Pletcher horse. So, you know, he showed up. So he's a legitimate one coming out of there. Then we get out to California, to the El Camino Real Derby. Some nice horses in there. But again, not anybody that's going to be setting the world on fire on the road to the Derby. We had Chase Chaos. He wins the race. Nice horse. Good race. You know, but nothing that's really lighting me up saying, hey, you know, maybe this horse going to win the Derby. You know, so that's one thing that I looked at. And I just kept thinking, like, oh, my goodness, what's it going to be this year? How's it going to be this year? And that's what we're looking at. And I said, you know, it's going to be interesting. A lot of things playing into issues here. You know, along with the winters, we're starting to look at the weather. Now the weather's coming in, and this is when the weather starts getting bad. You know, around the track in February and March, the Risen Star had Angel of Empire, Stun Thunder, Two Fills. Two Fills was a horse that came out that I noticed. It was a nice-looking horse, good horse, and he really ran good. And we had Taffet's Conquest. He came out of there, and he really looked good. You know, I was amazed at how good those two horses looked. So mark them up, and we start looking at them down the road. Keep an eye, see where they're going to. You know, and again, it's all the weather. Deciding where you're going to go, if you're going to go. You know, make sure the weather's going to be good, because, you know, you can't get in a situation of being held back by weather or missing days or having race dates, you know, canceled. Then we came out to the Rebel Stakes. Confidence Game was there. Route 1 was there. Verifying was there. Bourbon Bash was there. Those horses were horses that could possibly go on to the Derby, depending what happens down the road. You know, those were the good. Confidence Game was a really good horse that came out that I thought was good. Then we had the Patent Stakes over in England. Cairo, News at 10, Stormy Entry, and Cash Out, they all ran good, you know, but there's nothing to say, hey, let's get on a plane and go to the States and run, you know, somewhere else and run again for the Derby, get our point. Then we had March 4th, the John Battaglia that came out, at Turfway Park. Again, you know, you're looking at weather, and Congruent won the race. Bromley was there. Bromley was one that's kind of hanging around for a while. You know, he's starting to look good. But again, he's a victim of being up north in the weather and training days. Then on March 4th also, we had the Fountain of Youth Stakes, and Forte wins. You're looking at the two-year-old champion of the year. You're looking at a horse that's just unbelievable. You know, he's something else. He came back off a long layoff. Hadn't run since November. And here he is coming back and, you know, running here in March off of, you know, 3 month layoff, and he wins easy. Rocket Cam was in there, Cyclone Mischief, Shadow Dragon. And those weren't horses that set the world on fire. You know, they were there at the dance, but, you know, they didn't make anything, you know, anybody stand up. Then we had the San Felipe, March 4th, from Santa Anita. Again, you're looking at weather conditions and things that happened out there. Practical Move, he was a nice one, much the best. And But yet again, you know, you got to ask yourself, was this the Derby performance? No, it wasn't. It was on the way to the Derby, but he would have to really improve great from that. Then we had March 4th, we had the Gotham Stakes. Grace Kane, Cyclone Mahoney, General Baker, I and Clover, Clear the Air. There's nothing in there that really set the world on fire. Nothing. Nothing in there. So then we get in to the Tampa Bay Derby on March 11th. And out of nowhere, another Todd Pletcher horse, just like Litigate, you know, and Forte, he comes up in the Tampa Bay Derby, and this guy just, he controlled that race. And so you're looking at Classic Car Wash, Classic Legacy, Pirate Hawk, and Lord Miles. Again, everybody that finished behind him was not in a situation to where, you know, they could come by and win, you know. But it's a horse that is on the road in the right path to the Derby. So now we come up and we look at UAE Derby. It's going to be happening this weekend. There's really nothing set in there that's going to be coming out. Nothing at all. We're looking at the Twin Spires Louisiana Derby, which is on the 25th. Now, something might come out of there. Something just might come out of there. So we're going to see what happens tomorrow in Louisiana. It's a good race. We got some real horses there for this one. We're looking at a 12-horse field. A lot of new horses. Coffee will be in there, which he was on the Derby Road early. Curly Jack, that from Tom Amos, that you know, won the Iroquois. We've got a lot of good horses in this race. The thing that gets me about this race is that a good example about preparing your horses for the Derby. It appears to me that there's probably five or six horses in the Louisiana Derby that are pointing towards the Preakness, which is 2 weeks after the Derby. Tappet Conquest for Brad Cox, I think, is the Preakness horse. I think if you look at Instant Coffee and Curly Jack, those are Preakness horses, you know, that are in there. And then Todd Pletcher's got a horse called King's Barn. He's a spendthrift horse, and I think he's got a good shot at either winning this thing, or if he doesn't, he'll be a good preparation for him to get to the Preakness, because the Preakness would be literally 7 weeks off. And he could race one more time between now and then at an undercard race somewhere. But, you know, I think that's what it's going to be. I think Instant Coffee and Curly Jack will be the two to beat. King's Barn will be coming running at them. Tappet's Conquest is going to be tough. It's going to be interesting to see. But this is another thing that we were talking about. When you have a prep race like this, and like I said, depending on how they come out of this race, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, you know, and where they go. They won't know until, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday of next week when to see how their horse come out of the race. If he comes out good, you know, you might really consider going to the Derby. But if he doesn't, you've always got the Preakness to look at, you know, down the road. So that, you know, that's a big consideration there. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made by the trainer and the owner now, on their, you know, journey to the Kentucky Derby. So that's the thing that we were looking at, you know, in that race. So then we have the Sunland Park Derby, which is the 26th. It's the short field. There's 7 horses in it. Bob Baffert has a horse called Hard to Figure. He's not going to the Derby. That's for sure, because of the legal situation that he has. That's just not going. So then, who do we have in there? How did he do that? It's Steve Ashby's horse, and he's going to be tough. Fort Bragg, which was another Bob Baffert horse, but trained by Tim Yakin now, he's a possibility that's in there. And the rest, there's nobody in there. You're looking at two horses that could possibly, you know, go to the races. And that would be, how did he do that? Steve Asmussen. Tim Yakin has Fort Bragg. And then the rest, I don't think are even going to be anywhere close. So, you know, again, this is Derby points and it's a big decision for him to make. Do they, you know, race in other stake races coming up in the spring? You know, or do they go for the Derby, you know? But I don't think there's a Derby winner coming out of Sunland in there. So then, you know, we're sitting here and we're looking at, you know, on Saturday at the Jeff Ruby Stakes. It's a nice race there. I don't think that there's a $700,000 added got Derby points. And again, this race probably verifies everything that I'm saying here. There's a horse that in here, he's named his Major Dude, and it's Todd Fletcher. And I've been around this horse, and I see how they're bringing him along with his works and with everything that he's doing. You know, I've been watching how he's doing it and everything, and they're schooling him. Every race that he goes to, he gets schooled. And I think Major Dude is a horse that's going to be prepped for the Preakness Stakes. I think he's going to be prepped for the Preakness Stakes. Lightly raced. He's got a lot of good ground under him. But I think this is going to be the one that is prepped for the Preakness. We've got a nice horse in here. Fantastic again. Wesley Ward. He's a nice horse, but I don't think he's a Derby horse. I really don't. Then we looked at down the road here. Brad Cox has got Wunschworth, very lightly raced. I don't think it's going to be there. And Todd Pletcher's got another horse in here, Point Proven. And having seen the way these races are setting up and what trainers are going to what race, I think this is the whole long and short of it. That it is, you know, prepping for other races, not for the Derby. And I think that the races that we have here that are going to Jeff Ruby Stakes, I think is a race that is really one of those races that's getting them ready for the Preakness. So that's what I think. Those are the three races this weekend that we have coming up. So now we're down to the very last few races. And these last few races that we are down to, it's going to really define who's got that last shot to get in. Now, all the races that I'm talking about now, I don't think any of these horses are going to come out and go to the Derby. I don't think there's a Derby winner in any of them here. And the races that we're talking about, are the Cardinal Condition Stakes from England. I don't think somebody's coming out for that. The Florida Derby is going to be Forte's race. Forte, this is a good prep race for Forte, and I think he's going to win the Derby. If he has a good race out of the Florida Derby, I think he's going to be the horse to win the Derby. This is going to be an awful, awful good race. A lot of shooters in there going for him, but I think he's going to be the one to beat in there. That's the Florida Derby on April 1st. On April 1st, we got the Arkansas Derby, and I really don't think anything's going to come out of the Arkansas Derby. They've had a lot of weather condition issues, temperature, rain, you name it, they've had it. You know, I don't know what the race is going to be like there on Saturday. Hopefully it's a good fast track, you know, and we'll get a good true measure of what these horses are like. So, you know, that's going to be a tough one. Now we're talking about the Wooden Memorial, which is April 8th at Aqueduct. Again, I don't see any horses that'll be going. It's going to depend how big the fields are, but I really don't see any horses coming out of the Wooden Memorial going on to win the Derby. Again, weather conditions are changing. You're looking at springtime for these young horses coming around. They've been in winter weather. There's so many things that are going to be changing for these horses. It's going to be really, really tough, you know, for a horse out coming out of the Wood Memorial, you know, to win a Derby. It's just few and far between, and, you know, we don't know what the weather's going to be like. You know, it's going to be tough, tough on these horses. Then we're looking at the Bluegrass Stakes in Keeneland on April the 8th. That's a tough race. It's a good prep race for the Preakness. And you notice I talked about a lot of these races being prep races for the Preakness. You're going to see that happen here. You're going to see that happen. And so I have to determine what trainers are going where and when the entries come in, who's a Preakness man or who's a Derby man. You know, it's easy to get caught up in emotion if you win one of these races, go to the Derby, but you got to be realistic. Do I really have a shot at it? You know, and you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. You know, that's what I'm looking at. So the Bluegrass is kind of, it's kind of a tough race. It's 600,000 added, going 9 furlongs, and you get 100 points, and, you know, you could do it, but not many horses come out of the Bluegrass and go ahead to win the Derby. And then out at Santa Anita, you have the Santa Anita Derby, which is a great race, 750,000 added, going 9 furlongs. And the tough part about that is that you're out west, you're generally running against the same group of horses, and you might have been tested in some of the others, but, you know, you might not have been. We've had one race out there where one trainer had a Derby point race for Derby points, and it was a four-horse race, and he had all four of the horses in there. So you really couldn't look at that race one for him to come out to go to. And like we've been saying, there are a lot of these races the last half of the season are pointing towards the Preakness. And you got to start thinking about the whole summer as a whole, what you do there, how you do it. You got to think about all that. And what are you going to do? Then, you know, you start looking right after the Derby, you start looking towards the Travers and, you know, at Saratoga, you know, the Islam, or the, and then you think about going to Monmouth Park, you know, up there to race. There's just so much there, you know, that you have to go through and think about. And then the last shot to get in the Derby is the Lexington Stakes. It's at Keeneland, it's 8.5 furlongs, and it's on April the 15th. So you're looking 3 weeks off the Derby. So now, you know, what do you do? What do you do and where do you go? You know, that's what it's all about. And we're, you know, it's hard to say, this is where I'm going to go and this is how I'm going to do it. You know, it's tough to go that route. It's really, really tough to do that. And like I was saying before, there's some of the tracks that they just haven't produced a lot of Derby winners. There's a lot of tracks that can come up and surprise you. Anything can happen. It's a horse race. You don't know where they're coming from or where they're going. So just to kind of go back point-wise, what we're looking at from the Derby this year, we're looking at Forte. Forte has come up with some good money. He's got 90 points. He's earned $1,833,000, trained by Todd Fletcher, and he's on the same training course that Always Dreaming was in. Then we have Confidence Gain, with Keith and Stormo. This horse come out of nowhere. He come out of nowhere and he snagged some good points. 705,000 in earnings. You know, we'll see how he does, you know, with it. Angel of Empire, which was another horse that you know, started showing some good talent back during the winter, the early winter, trained by Brad Cox. Really looks good. Yeah, I hope Brad's bringing him along. Brad's kept him in Louisiana They've been training there again. You know, we're looking at what kind of weather conditions was he training under, how long, you know, how many good days did he have? And that makes a big difference, you know, because when you're weather, you come in and you got a good scheduled work coming up and it's muddy or, you know, track's bad, you can't train, you know, work, and that's tough. We have a horse named Race King. He's a violence horse in which, you know, he's half brother to the 4K. So we know that these horses can run and everything. And that's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that horse comes out on his training going to, and he's got 54 points. So now you're looking at 4K, which has 90. And, you know, we're looking at, you know, the rest of them are, you know, 40, 50 points down, you know, below. And with the races that are coming up, they're 100 point races and they can catapult somebody up front, you know, to get in there. But we'll just have to see. We'll know more after, you know, after Saturday. Tomorrow, the races tomorrow will strictly define who is and who isn't. You know, you'll pretty much have your top 20, you know, after racing tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 6:30, you'll know who's there. At fifth, we got Practical Move. He was a Bob Baffert horse, that was a good horse. He went to, Tim Yakin from Bob Baffert's barn. You know, so we'll just see what happens there, you know, with that. Don't know what's going on, but we'll see. You know, he's a nice horse. He got 443,000, but he's only got 50 Derby points. And that's pretty much for the rest of the tier on down. They don't have much. Congruent, he's a good horse. You know, he's got 50 points. But he's only got 240,000, so you know that didn't get him there twice, you know, very much. Then we got Tappet Trice, which is another Pletcher horse. It's got 310,000. He's got 50 points. You know, is that going to be enough to keep him in there? Then here comes Rocket Can, you know, from Billy Mott. He's been on a good road. We have Red Root One and Ask Mason. We have Instant Coffee, they got 32 points. Rocket Can's got 40. Red Room One's got 33. We're looking at Classic Car Wash, 26. Summer Thunder, 24. Central Banker, 24. Two Phils, which was on the Derby Trail early, doing good. Won a couple good races. You can see he's only got 23 points. Hit Show, which was another horse that looked pretty good. Brad Cox was. He's got 20 points. We got Slip Mahoney. Nice horse. Brad Cox horse. He's got 20 points. Curly Jack, that was on the trail early with Tom Amos and won the Iroquois. He's got 17. And you know, when you start looking at the points that they have here in these top 23 horses, how they got them and where they're at and how they started out. A lot of them started out really good. And then, you know what happened? They weren't doing good. They were not doing very good. Not very good at all. And so that's what we kind of look at, is what's going on with them. We want to see how it happens, you know, with these races coming up this weekend. The races that are coming up, you'll be able to see them on, intv.org. You'll be able to see those horses, what it looks like for them coming up. You see it live. That's the best thing part about it, is you get to see them live. And, you know, I was just thinking the other day, who's going to be the big surprise this year? Who's going to be the big surprise? You know, you're looking at Pletcher's group and Cox, Brad Cox. You're looking at the horses that left Bob Baffert and went to Tim Yakinson. You know, it's tough. It's tough. And the reason I'm saying some of these horses might be getting prepped for the Preakness, the owner has to sit down and, you know, naturally I'd like to run in the Derby and, you know, who wouldn't? And the bad thing about it is you got to be realistic. And I say the reason I say it's a bad thing is because your heart wants you to run in the Derby, to experience that, having a horse in the Derby, having a chance to win the Derby. You know, they say it's a lifetime of chance and a chance of a lifetime. You know, and you're 20 of the top, you know, thousands of thoroughbreds that are foal every year. And the tough part about it is making that decision somewhere here in the next 30 days to see if you should run in the Derby, because you got to change your training if you're going to run into the Preakness. And you got to get off that Derby trail training, and you got to get onto the Preakness trail training, which is completely different because Preakness is shorter, different track, different turns, you know, a lot of different things. And the best analogy I could have about the Kentucky Derby is what we just said. We talked about all the races that led up to the Kentucky Derby, going to the Derby, and how you can get off that road to the Kentucky Derby real quick. You know, I mean, that's one of the things that just really hurts is when you're on the road to the Derby and, you know, and whether it's an injury or whether you realize that, you know, hey, I got a good horse, but not that type of horse. You know, that these last few months and especially these next 2 weeks are going to put a lot of trainers and owners and, you know, jockeys, you know, they're going to come to the realization that it's not, you know, it's not in their best interest to run in the Derby. And you start looking towards the Preakness. You know, that's what you do. You know, that's your contingency plan. Because as an owner with a colt, you have to look at your resume when he goes to the breeding shed, if he's good enough to go to the breeding shed. And so then you start looking at the Haskell in Monmouth Park. You look at the Travers and, you know, Saratoga. You look at the Breeders' Cup Classic that comes up in November. You look at all these different things that, you know, you're looking at. And notice how so far we have not talked about the Belmont, because the Belmont is how I'm going to summarize what we've just talked about here today on the show about how you get to where you go. If you look at all the horses that are training up to what we're supposed to be doing for the Derby and for the Preakness, and there's 20 horse fields, they're full fields, all these prep races, usually 12, 15, 20 horse fields. And what happens when you get to the Belmont, you look, there's usually just a 6, 7, 8 horse field. And they're all usually outside shooters. Horses that you haven't heard at all about all year long, because they're on a different path and a different, you know, training schedule to go to the Derby or to the Belmont. You know, and that's why it was hard to find Triple Crown winners, because you got to get on, you know, a real tough, you know, Derby and Preakness trail. And so that's where we're at now. We're these races have weeded them out. We're going to know who's who and what's what, you know, that type of thing here. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens this weekend. And like I said, Monday or Tuesday this week, we'll pretty much know who the Derby's going to be. You know, that's going to be a for real deal. You know, we'll start talking really Derby, you know, good Derby things. And then our Derby programming, if you come to IENTV.org on the morning, we'll be broadcasting the Dawn at the Downs. Watch all the horses work every morning, go to the track and train and see interviews with the trainers and jockeys and owners, you know, about how the horses are preparing that last, you know, 2 weeks for, 3 weeks for the Derby. That's always good, a good insight. You get to see them train. It'll be coming on at 7:30 in the morning, and it'll be 7 days a week. You'll really enjoy it. And you'll see all the Derby doings and what they're doing on at Churchill. If you go to our website now, to Churchill Downs, click on Churchill, and they give you all the information. They're really starting to, push the heck out of the Preakness stakes this year, advertising-wise. That's looking good, but now it's coming down to the critical, decisions to see who survived all these different things here for, this year's Kentucky Derby. That's what it's all going to be about, and see what happens. And, it's kind of funny when we sit back and think about all the things that we've talked about, only about transportation and feed and all like that. Probably the most crucial decision you have to make in the next 2 weeks is going to be what day do we ship to Churchill? What day do we ship to Churchill? Of course, the horses from California, they'll be flying in. A lot of them fly in from New York and Florida. They'll fly them up on Tech Sutton. They'll fly them up. And, that's an easier trip for them, which is to fly up and, opposed to the vanning, that type of thing. So, that's what these owners are starting to look at now, kind of, circling the wagons and making the final decisions, to get there. To Churchill, and then of course, when you get a horse in the Derby, you got all of your friends calling you, wanting to know how he's doing, when are you going, are there any tickets, you get that whole thing, it's exciting, to do. And like for me, like tomorrow morning, we got five horses that are going to be, key Derby horses, coming up. We got a couple that are going to be in the Florida Derby. We got them, a couple that might go to the Wood Memorial up in New York. We got some good horses left here. So tomorrow morning is a big morning for us over at Palm Beach Downs. We're going to see Forte, Tappet Trice, Litigate. They're going to be putting their last best work in before the Florida Derby. And then, hopefully that'll catapult them going into the Kentucky Derby. And like I said, there's a possibility of having three horses in there from Palm Beach Downs in the Florida Derby. And the thing of it is only one of them can win it. And, whoever wins it, it will be, in the top two or three horses for the Kentucky Derby. Right now, Forte, he stands at the top of the bunch, and we'll have to see kind of who goes from there. And tomorrow, like I said, be a good work for the Derby. Kind of set the path for all the rest of the horses and that'll be going. Who's going to the Derby? Who's going to the Preakness? Who's going to be prep for a good summer run, and then to the Breeders' Cup. That's what's going to happen with them. And so, I'm excited about, tomorrow morning. It's going to be good to see what happens. But, the whole long and short of it is that journey to the Kentucky Derby, it's just something that's just amazing. There's no set way to get there. There's no right feed to give a horse. There's no right truck to put them on. There's no right plane to put them on. There's no right jockey to put them on. There's no, you don't know. If you could sit down and put it on paper and say, okay, this is how you win the Derby. You use this feed. You use this truck company. You use this jockey. You race in this race. This is how you do that. You give him so many carrots a day. You give him 2 days off a month. There's so many things that you could sit down and try to write down, and you know what? You never do know. They asked the great Woody Stevens, winner of five Belmonts in a row. They asked Woody. They said, Woody, how did you get win five Belmonts in a row? And he just kind of laughed at him. He said, if I knew that, he said, I'd write a book. He said, sell it, make $1 million. And he said, retire. He said, there's no way. You can't sit down and write, a book that says this is how you do it. This is how he did it. but he can't say this is how you do it. But that's where I can in the horse business. You got thousands of trainers that are worldwide, and you don't know what's going to be the right key to it. You have somewhat of an idea, but you know the intangibles that come in there. A horse's mindset on the day of the Derby. How is he feeling good? You know, did he get plenty of rest? You know, there's so many things there. And then the crowd, you know, you're looking at over 100,000 people that'll be there. It's a whole new environment that this horse has never been exposed to and will never be exposed to again until the next Derby happens. And, you know, with you being a 3-year-old, you can only run in a Derby once, and that's your day. That's your day. When you come out of that tunnel and they're playing My Old Kentucky Home, you got 100,000 people singing and screaming and hollering, you know, and this horse has never seen this before. You know, you're looking at people on all sides of you, in front of you, back of you, you know, all around, you know, everywhere. And that horse has never seen that. So, you know, his mind gets into the game then. You know, he's thinking like, you know, well, I thought I was coming here to race, but, you know, it looks like there's a party here. And so, you know, you wonder how it affects the horses. Some will come out there, won't bother them a bit. You know, they'll drop that head down, they'll start warming up, and they know that they're in there to race. And then there's a bunch of other horses that are going to be there and say, holy cow, what is this? What did I get myself into? You know, and then they're going to load up in that gate. And when they come out of that gate, the crowd starts to roar, screaming and hollering, cheering on each one of the horses. You got 20 horses on the field. You could be in the middle. You have 10 on one side, 9 on the other. And, they're all running and trying to get there. They got to run the stretch twice there at Churchill, which makes it tough a little. Can you get the horse to relax? Is adrenaline pumping? Does it still, you know, affecting the horse's mind? You know, what he sees and, you know, how he's being ridden and the horses around him. Are they bumping into him, throwing dirt in his face? Or, you know, has he got a long way to, you know, to catch the field? When the field fans out at the head of the stretch, you know, where do I go? Right, left, up the center? Do I follow somebody? You know, what do I do? You know, there's so many things that's, getting into the head of that horse that the horse has to make a decision. He's got to make a decision where he goes and how he runs and what he does. You know, that's the last decision made on how they get there. It's the horse. He makes that decision how he's going to run. And that's the tough part about it, man. I tell you, that's the tough part about it. All the owners and trainers can do is sit back and say, you know, well, we did the right thing because we won the Derby. You know, or we didn't do the right thing because we didn't win the Derby. You know, but yet you could have done the right thing and not win the Derby, but you still did the right thing because you got there. And that's what I like about it. The Derby is my experiences that we've had in the Derby, which were really good ones. The way I looked at it is we did everything we possibly could to get the horse to the Derby. You know, in our minds, in the training program of the trainer and the owners and the grooms and the hot walkers and exercise riders, you know, things were done properly in the way, you know, that the management had determined we're going to go to the Derby on. So you sit there and you look at it and you come back. And if you don't win, you just get beat by a bunch of better horses. It's a long and short of it. You know, that it's not because, you know, we broke bad or, you know, we got pinched off in the turn or, you know, this or that, you know, we threw a shoe or whatever. You know, the way I look at it, we just got beat by a better horse, you know, and so when you look at it like that, it becomes fun. And then the most ironic part of this year-long endeavor, 2-year endeavor to get the horse to the Kentucky Derby, when you get there, and I tell you what, in 1982, I worked with a horse called Albaba. We came in. We were one of the featured, horses, by ABC Sports that year. And we thought we were going to win it. you know, because we set up there, we won the Louisiana Derby, and, you know, we had our road to the Derby, and it was going good. And every day, the 10 days before Derby, in our barn, we had newspaper people, we had TV cameras, we had celebrities, we had all kinds of people stopping by the barn, wanting to look at Elvada. And like they did all the other horses, you know, they all had that same hope and that same dream. And so on the way, walking him on the way over to the paddock, I had a good feeling. He was feeling good. And he was a horse that the crowd didn't bother him. You know, the crowd didn't bother him. A large field wouldn't bother him. You know, he was one of those type of horses. And so I was excited. And I'll never forget, we take him out, get him saddled, take him out to the track and let him go. And he warms up really good. You know, Donnie Brumfield was riding him, a good veteran, you know, jockey that had been there and done that. And so I was excited. They get him into the gate. He breaks good. He comes out of the gate. He's going down the stretch for the first time, and he's laying fourth and fifth, and he's in the mix, you know, as they say. Hits the back stretch, and, you know, he starts moving, making his move, hits the 3/8 pole, and he, you know, we're looking at, you know, I'm starting to think, like, my God, he could win this thing. And then there's a horse called Koopa Koi's Joy, a filly. And she comes out, and she bumped into Al Baba, and he got knocked sideways. He wrenched a hock, but he finished like 11th with him and everything. But nevertheless, you know, that was all part of the Derby, you know, plan. And not to, you know, we didn't win it because he wrenched a hock. We just got beat by better horses. And that's all there was to it. You know, all those other horses, you know, they got banged up, beat up. You know, they had a tough way to go. But, you know, they just, you know, we just flat out got beat. You know, and every Derby's like that. You know, when you get up there and you win, you know, you say very little, you know, and when you lose, you say very little, and when you win, you say even less. And that's what it was all about, you know. And so now there's a lot of anticipation. A lot of pre-Derby parties are getting ready to start this weekend. And every week, from the owners and the trainers and the grooms and the jockeys, it's kind of a month-long celebration, you know, what could be, you know, what could be, you know. Then in a couple of weeks, you're going to start thinking about, well, did I have the right clothes for the Derby? Did I have the warm jackets? You know, did I have the, you know, everything, you know, right? You start making your Derby list. And you know, that kind of helps take the edge off of the anticipation of getting to the Derby. But, you know, this Saturday is the one that is the real deal Saturday, is what I call it. Because you got 5 weeks to the Derby, and, you know, it's going to be interesting. And like I said, you know, Tuesday we'll know pretty much who the top 20 are going to be in the Derby. Because the races that are left, a few might come out of the races that are left, but I highly doubt it. So if you go to our website on Tuesday, you'll see my top Derby picks, and we'll go from there. So it's been a great Friday. I keep forgetting today's Friday, and all because we had qualifiers here from Standard Breeds that are going north this morning here at Sunshine Meadows. And we got a couple of girls that'll be riding in the Miami Global Champions show in Miami Beach next week. So we got a lot of high-end horses that are getting ready to be put on display and tested to their best of their ability from Sunshine Meadows, Delray Equestrian, and Palm Beach Hounds. Talk to you guys next week on Friday. And we'll see what we got going on, and we'll have it all down. I'll tell you the winner next week for the 2023 Kentucky Derby, how they get there. This is Scott Miller, Delray Beach, Florida. Have a great weekend.